This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris again with the Norris Group, and we have TJ Clark. He is with Turnkey Rentals. This is the second interview on vacation rentals. I'm super excited. Prior to founding Turnkey, TJ was president and CEO of Limos.com, which expanded globally and launched partnerships with companies like Orbitz, Sabre, Concur, Delta Airlines, and OpenTable. And prior to that, TJ was VP of Operations at Interactive Corp, which includes such brands as Expedia, Hotels.com, and Ticketmaster. And before that, he was on the startup team for Hotwire. And if you're not familiar with Turnkey Rentals, it is one of the largest full-service property management companies in the U.S., and it's one of the fastest-growing startup companies in Austin, which I still have never been to, which I need to make happen in the next couple of years. It's raised over $20 million in funding, and original investors include the likes of Expedia, Zillow, Hotwire, Glassdoor, and HomeAway. So thank you for coming back for a second interview. I knew this was going to happen. There's so many good questions, but I want to make sure I get to, we talk a little bit about infrastructure and the major players. Now let's talk about sort of the reality. I'm a real estate investor who thinks having a vacation rental is a wonderful idea, but then you don't really think of, oh my goodness, how am I going to manage making sure it's on the sites correctly, getting texts from all these different sites on people wanting to book? Like, I can only imagine the awesomeness of having a management company do all that. So talk to me a little about Turnkey Rentals and the service that you provide to homeowners.
Sure. Well, in the market space, if you're a homeowner, there's really traditionally been two ways for you to go if you want to generate some short-term rental income on your property. You know, if you're a more casual owner and you only want to rent a couple times a year, you can go onto any of the big sites, Airbnb, HomeAway. You can create a listing very easily. You can get online very quickly, and you can start making some money. And if you do that two or three times a year, it really isn't that hard. But if you're a more serious approach to this and you want to rent 15 times a year or more, wow, you're really now running essentially a little hospitality operation for guests. So you're hosting very frequently. You may live out of town, so you're trying to do it remotely, and it makes life a lot harder. You probably have a day job on which you want to stay focused. And this is a very typical profile for owners that we meet. And that's where they start saying, wow, I could really use a hand in this. And so traditionally, you could go to a local property manager. And what a local property manager looks like is about 25 vacation rentals. There's actually less than 5% of property managers across the U.S. have more than 100 rentals, and less than a handful have more than 1,000. So what you have is a property manager that's going to want to charge you somewhere between about 30% to 50% of the rental revenue that you make on your property, which we think is really exorbitant. But part of it's driven because they're not technology focused, and these are traditionally businesses that can't take advantage of scale. Think the kind of scale that Amazon has and how they're approaching the industry. You don't see that in these very small mom and pop type companies. So that is a big downside if you're a renter. So you have your, it's kind of a Hobson's choice. On one side, you have to do it all yourself. If you have to do it all yourself, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult to do it remotely. And it's going to be hard to make the kind of income that you could if you had somebody who was really focused on your marketing, getting back to guests quickly, managing your cleaners so that you get great guest reviews. And then on the other side, you could go to a property manager where they wipe away a big part of the upside of renting in the first place. And their services are frankly probably not making you the most revenue that they could because they're not using technology and have a significant staff. So we think that there's a better alternative to that. We think that a lower cost offering, what we do is 18% commissions instead of the 30 to 50. We think we'll still able to make money doing that if we scale across the U.S. because we can centralize some resources and get scale advantages by using technology. And then we think that the distinction between renting on your own and going to a property manager over the next 5 years is going to really blur because there's going to be this all kinds of technology solutions that are going to be made available to the for rent by owner that's going to really make their life a lot easier. And we're developing in this area, but you'll see things coming in here like noise monitoring on your property. You'll see photo inspections of your property that could be used by your cleaners, digital locks, ways to dispatch handymen that could make it a lot more remote management is going to become a real beneficial thing for these owners.
And I'll just share, it was the very first time I had run in when I was staying in Palm Springs a couple weeks ago. It was the very first time I had stayed at a property that you managed, and it was a very different experience. It started with I had a very pretty quick interaction. I don't think when I was booking, was I working with somebody on your team? Does your team manage the booking process as well, or is that the homeowner?
We do. We take care of the whole process for the owner. So our mode right now of working with our homeowners is they would hand over to us 100% of the management of the property, and they completely outsource it, starting with creation of listings into the right big four channels, which would be HomeAway and VRBO, Airbnb, Booking.com, and TripAdvisor, where you're going to reach about 95% of the guests' audience and demand, actively setting rates, like a hotel changes rates. Everyone that stays in a hotel paid a different price.
Right.
And that price depends on when they booked and how full the hotel was at the time. Same thing needs to be done in vacation rental management to maximize the revenue that you're going to make. So we do that. Responses to guests needs to happen within 5 minutes. If you're going to be the first one to be responding to those guests and getting more bookings, you want to have a secure way for the guest to access the home easily. So digital lock, we think, is essential on a rental, a digital lock that can provide a unique code for every guest stay that only works when they're supposed to be there. So at their check-in time, the code goes live. At checkout time, it goes away. If you need to send a plumber or if you need to send a handyman during the stay, they need to have a one-time use code that goes away. And that way, it's very secure for the guest and the owner. You can have the guest also have this great experience of where they can just go right to the home. If their flight's late, they're not getting stressed out because they have to have gone stopped by the property manager's office to get a key or try to fumble with some lockbox where they're wondering where it's hidden in the bushes or whether a key's even going to be there, you know, when they arrive.
Yeah.
These are all the little pitfalls that we think technology can really iron out and make it a much more reliable and convenient experience for the guest and much easier management for the owner. That's where we are trying to really transform the vacation rental industry on this fulfillment side of the space. And it's been a lot of fun.
I'm just sad because I just realized that Julie that I was working with wasn't real. I just thought she really cared. Just kidding.
Well, Julie probably was real. We have about 40 in-house reservation specialists.
Are they all named Julie?
Not all named Julie.
Well, and I love the digital lock. All my other rentals that I stayed in before did seem a little bit more moms and popsy. And, you know, they showed up, they did a walkthrough, showed me where everything was. But you guys were really organized. And there was a Samsung, I think it was a phone or a phablet with you had an app there. There was a book. I did have to call. And what was interesting, the pool equipment wasn't working. And I called the number and the cell reception in the area was bad. And so I got dropped. When I called back, it knew that I had got dropped and it like put me back in line. I was like, whoa, this is pretty sophisticated. And the guy was out and really responsive. So you have a team of in the field at any time working all the rentals that are there. That's really interesting. So they're just, you call them when you need them and they're not on staff. It's just, you have an app and technology that handles all that.
That's right. If you're going to a hotel, first of all, if your expectations of being a hotel type traveler are that you can go in, you can check in easily. When you open the door, it's going to be clean and the things and the main appliances are going to be working in your hotel room. We don't think that's too much to expect for a vacation rental either. And it makes your trip a lot. And if you do need help, they have 24-hour help. So we think these are really basic ground and fundamental items for our travelers that should be in the unique and amazing homes that you can stay in all so many markets. So that's really the experience we're trying to bring to the guests. We want it to be local. So we have a local team there that can help you with running these guest support services and field services. And the name of the game is to try to prevent mistakes from happening. And then if something does happen, that you're there to recover. So a lot of what we do is focused on inspections and how we conduct inspections on the critical working and items of the rental and the cleanliness of the rental before the guest gets there. How can we help them if there's an in-stay issue and work? You know, we have a local team and we also work with hundreds of vendors in each of our markets. If it's a specialized thing, it's electrical, whatever, so that we can pull off that repair quickly and efficiently so the guests can have fun on their vacation, which is what they're there for.
And because our audience is mostly real estate investors, I do want to back up because I want to sort of calculate the costs that we've been talking about so far. So you said listing on the sites like HomeAway and VRBO and all those sites, Airbnb, they take about 12 to 15% of the booking total, correct?
Right. Okay. That's right. Yeah, the industry norm in a typical vacation rental transaction is that certain items will be paid for by the guest and certain items get paid for by the owner. Typically, you'll see that the guest will pay the occupancy taxes, like in a hotel. You'll have the guest pay the cleaning fee, and the guest will pay either a security deposit or they'll pay some sort of, we use as a one-time property damage protection program, which means they pay $49 and they get $3,000 worth of coverage during their stay if they break something.
Oh.
And that's a good for the guest and it's good for the owner, we think. Guests do not like security deposits, and it's the number one inhibitor of bookings on your property. And then what the owner would typically pay is a credit card fee to Visa and MasterCard.
Sure.
Then after that, they would pay the property management fee and would pay to keep supplies, basic supplies stocked, you know, in the rental, like hotel. One thing guests really appreciate is having starter supplies of shampoos and detergent, you know, dishwashing detergent and laundry. It helps them get off on the right foot, you know, more hotel-like experience.
Well, a lot of these have pretty, not stocked kitchens, that's a wrong word to use, but, you know, cooking supplies and utensils. And there's typically some leftover stuff from tenants before, whether it's coffee, salt, pepper, all that kind of good stuff. So just trying to get an idea of the actual cost and maybe the net revenue a real estate investor might make if they decide to go this route. So, I mean, depending, I mean, that management stuff, you know, that can, if you're paying 30 to 50%, that's a big deal.
That's right. That's right. You should, if you get, our commission is 18%, so our owners, after credit card fee, they yield about 79% of the rent that we charge, 79 to 80%. And that's a pretty good proposition. I think long-term property managers charge 10% or less, so we're about double that, but it's a much more active kind of management, obviously. And we're in the low end of the industry norm. And then what you really want to think about if you're an investor thinking about your where to go in a city, if you're going to go short-term rental, there are very clear areas where short-term renting is going to yield a much higher return than long-term rental. And there are neighborhoods where long-term rental is going to yield better than short-term rental, the more residential areas. And what this normally translates into is if you were going on a vacation, where would you want to stay? You want to stay city center or in very unique neighborhoods that are popular with guests for things to do on the beaches or near the lifts if you're in a ski market. And those types of areas very generally will yield better on a short-term basis than a long-term basis from an investor standpoint.
Okay, so lots of things to do. Is there any kind of properties that you see have better ROI for investors?
Yeah, it depends. You know, large groups or large homes generate a disproportionate share of the revenue. So three bedrooms and up generate about 70 to 80% of the rental revenue across the country.
Okay. So the whole home and more than three bedrooms, that's interesting. Okay.
That makes sense because you cater towards larger groups, families. They share the cost. It's much more economical than getting the number of hotel rooms that you would need to house your guests, and it's an infinitely better way to stay with friends.
Absolutely. And in my experience, it's just been way more fun to do it that way. Hotels just seem so clinical these days.
Yeah, and you're not competing with hotels either, which is really important because hotels don't offer that type of accommodation.
Right. Well, are there any markets as far as ROI concerns that you see investors doing better in when it comes to that?
Well, there's the first thing is there's hundreds in which you can do well. I would start with that. Okay. And yes, within those hundreds in the U.S., there's some that are better in it, and some that'll be better where properties I think are more of a value to buy and you could expect more appreciation. Like Nashville, I think, is a really up-and-coming city. I would highlight that one, right? Okay. California, prices are already pretty high, generally.
Okay.
So I think, yes, they may appreciate, but maybe, you know, they're not going to appreciate as much while the period of time that you hold it. The NAR states that the average vacation rental is going to be held by an owner for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to think about, gee, is my property, am I going to be in an appreciating market in those 7 years? Sweet spots are, I think, in metros where you have neighborhoods that are turning. So in Austin, for example, that was the east side of town, which was just had the best rest. You know, when you see the best restaurants going in and the coolest nightclubs and fun areas to visit where property values are still low, that's a nice indicator of what's going to happen, I think, over time. It's also a great indicator of where guests are going to want to stay.
Right.
Because of the hip parts of town. That's where I would look for seams within these markets.
Interesting.
Okay. And then I'm going back to the different websites like a VRBO versus an Airbnb and how you guys probably experience, depending on the property, either of those sites would be very different from a different demographic. So I know my dad uses VRBO and I don't think he's ever been on Airbnb. But then again, I don't think he's ever on Facebook either. Okay. How do you guys, from a management side, one of the questions I was crowdsourcing questions on Facebook and the tenant question came up. From a management perspective, you have a lot more experience in this, especially on a site like Airbnb. Do you turn people down? What are you looking for in a good or bad tenant? I would love to hear more about that.
Super important consideration. Number one is you want to take care of your property and you don't want it to be damaged. Number two is you don't want to scare away legitimate guests, which are going to hurt your bookings. Number three, you want to be good neighbors in the neighborhood. You want guests that are going to be respectful and not noisy or cause you to have problems with the neighbors. And it could jeopardize whether you can continue to rent in the first place. So we think that there's essentially two important stages in picking the right guests. Number one is that you identify who they are and that they are who they say they are. That they, you get their name identified. Now, Airbnb provides us as a service, so everyone who books from Airbnb has been identified, and then you want to know their age. And then on Airbnb, on HomeAway or other sites, you can use services to identify who they are. We use a service called Jumio for a while, which identified their, it'll validate their driver's license. And now we use a service that's based on a credit, goes through credit information, and just like when you log on your bank account, it'll identify who you are through just a series of questions. And that also will provide the match to see, wow, does their credit card actually match who they say they are? We do not like to accept bookings where they want to use more than one credit card.
Oh.
Because it just has just been a correlator for us of fraud and risk. You do not want to accept a booking that says we're coming in for a bachelor party.
Can you deny? You can deny them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't want those guests. So we ask the guest, what brings you to town? They'll tell you a lot. And frankly, the guest is trying to solve. We believe people are by and large good. They're coming in, you know, you want to be careful because there's maybe 1% of the guests are fraudsters, which you want to be careful that you don't treat all your guests as fraudsters.
And what does fraud look like in the vacation rental space?
It's really, fraud would be a stolen credit card, and they use a stolen credit card to try to stay in the residence. But by far the larger problem that you want to try to make sure is that these guests are going to be a good fit, you know, for what you're offering, and they're not planning to come in to have a party or use the place for a wedding or some kind of get-together or a large event, or they're going to be noisy. And usually if you're upfront with the guest and say, look, if you're coming in to have a party here, this is not the place for you. Why? Because we're going to find out about it, and it's going to be a bad experience for you. And that really works because most people, if you're coming in with a group of friends, and you know that you're going to have a bachelor party and you know that you're going to get kicked out as a result of it, then you don't want to have that. You don't want to stay in that home.
And what
because it's a bad experience if you're having that party. And then, so that's why we think monitoring what happens when the guest comes in through the Ring doorbell, through decibel level monitoring, and having private security contracted for your rental so that they can go deal with issues, not you, and do it in a professional way is essential. And it really works. You bring all those factors together, and in our case, we manage material incidents of damages to less than 3 cases in every 1,000 rentals.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess, say a mistake was made how do you hear about bad tenants? And do you end up hearing about it, why they're there, and what do you do?
We reach out to them. So let's say they have passed all the initial pre-arrival screening. They come to the house. It starts getting noisy. We start getting decibel level alerts from our system, and we set it so that we get those alerts before the neighbors. We try to set it so that the neighbors are not the ones notifying us. We try to head it off before that happens. We send the guest a text message. Hey, we've received a report of excessive noise. That usually does the trick. Most people are respectful. They close the back door sliding glass window. They come in from outside on the porch. The noise goes down. If it doesn't stop, it escalates. We pick up the phone and call them and explain why they need to be quiet. And that usually solves it. If that doesn't, then we send private security to deal with it. So we only have to remove guests in very, very rare cases. Most people are good people. And if they're making too much noise, bothering someone in the neighborhood, they will stop.
We have about 3 minutes left, and you've brought up this decibel thing more than once. So was I staying in a rental with a decibel monitor?
Yes, it measures the ambient noise in it. And basically, as I mentioned, if it starts to go up to a level of about 90 decibels, which is pretty darn noisy, it would send you a text and ask you to quiet down.
Wow.
But it doesn't record any conversations. We don't know anything about the conversations, just the noise level overall. And frankly, it's helping you so that you would be able to stay in that rental if things are getting too loud to where the neighbor's going to call. They might call the police, and it could be an issue that could jeopardize you being able to stay there.
Is that what the phone was in the counter of the kitchen? Is that what that was?
Was that part of
that? That's an Android tablet. Yeah.
Okay, and the monitor is part of that.
Yep, we have it there, and we have it also in some other locations around the home.
Interesting. Okay.
Through devices that don't really look like anything.
Understood. Hey, you know what? That's really. Do you have some that are outside as well? If for markets like Palm Springs where pools are. Wow, that's that's pretty tricky.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, and it's meant to help us comply with local regulations, keep the homes in good shape, and make sure the guests can enjoy their vacation.
Well, and you probably have proof if neighbors are just being a real pain. You can be like, look, here are the readings. I mean, is that possible? Do you keep track of that? Do you record the decibel levels? Wow. That's a really cool service. Interesting. Well, what do you think the future is of vacation rentals with all this litigation and stuff going on? What do you think is going to happen?
They're not going away. I was just meeting, went to the Airbnb Open this year. I met a couple that I think about. It really exemplifies what's happening with the owners that are using short-term rentals as a way to supplement their income. They were retired teachers. They lived in California. They said that once they started renting on Airbnb, they've been able to use that money to go travel where they couldn't do it. They had fixed income. They couldn't travel. They're going to visit their grandkids. And it just made me think, you know what, they would be stuck in their home as retirees on their fixed income, living much less of a life if they weren't able to do this. And I'm sorry, but that is not going away. That is not going away, nor should it go away. What should happen is that it should be done in a respectful way where you're not bothering your neighbors. You should not have the city telling you how often you can do it and where you can do it. And I think that's going to happen. I think technology is going to be a big part of the solution to making it respectful. You should pay taxes. Maybe you need to get a permit. We're supportive of those things.
Okay.
And that's where we think the future is. We think technology is going to help there, and good behavior is going to help there. And that's what we get up thinking about every day.
I love it. Well, per usual, not enough time to cover all the questions, but thank you so much for your time. And if people want to find you, can you share one more time where they can connect with you online?
Absolutely. You can reach us anytime at turnkeyvr.com to either book a rental in any of our beautiful markets, or you can call us at 1-888-512-0498 to speak to a live agent who can connect you with the general manager in your area if you're interested in help with your rental.
Well, thanks so much, TJ.
Thank you, Aaron. Really appreciate it.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.